Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suvajit Starch and Chemicals Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aman Sethia. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sethia.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Suvajit Starch and Chemicals Limited, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you who have joined us for the Q2 H1 earnings call. We appreciate your time and interest in our company's performance. I hope that everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results which have been uploaded on the stock exchange. As we present the financial and operational performance for the first six months of FY24, we also take this moment to wish you a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. While we maintain a positive outlook for our company's prospects, we also remain committed to delivering the value to our shareholders. By prioritizing the key areas, we are confident in our ability to drive sustainable growth and generate long-term shareholder value. Our legacy for the past eight decades provides a solid foundation for the future success. I will now share the highlights of our financial performance for Q2 and H1 FY24. For H1 FY24, the company has reported a total revenue of rupees 647 crores against 705 crores in H1 FY23. EBITDA stood at 63.40 crores against 76.41 crores in the corresponding previous half year. Profit after tax stood at 27 crores against 39 crores in H1 FY23. Now coming to the quarterly performance for Q2 FY24, the company has successfully maintained its revenue at 323 crores against 324 crores in Q1 FY24 despite 15 days annual maintenance shutdown at its largest manufacturing facility. The company has also maintained its EBITDA margins at 10.05% with an improvement of 51 basis points in Q2 compared to Q1. EBITDA stood at 32.46 crores as against 30.94 crores in Q1. Net profit margin has also improved by 21 basis points from Q1. The profit after tax stood at 13.66 crores in Q2 FY24 as against 13.04 crores in the previous quarter. Dear friends, from the management, we have with us Mr. Bhavdeep Sardana, Senior Vice President and CEO, and Mr. Dheeraj Sardana, Senior Vice President and CEO of the company. Now I hand over to Mr. Dheeraj Sardana to give a brief about the company and its operations. Mr. Dheeraj Sardana, please.
Hello everyone. Suvajit Starch and Chemicals Incorporated in 1943 is an agro-processing company that specializes in the production of starch and its derivatives. With a rich history as one of India's oldest and largest starch producers, Suvajit Starch and Chemicals Limited has forged enduring partnerships with major brands and end users. Our diverse product portfolio includes starch, dextrin, liquid glucose, HMS, maltodextrin, monohydrate dextrose, anhydrous dextrose, sorbitol 70% solution, and various byproducts, catering to a wide spectrum of industries. The products are used in diverse industrial and commercial applications such as food and beverages, paper and board, personal care and pharmaceuticals, and textiles, FMCG, animal and pet foods, etc. I now hand over to Mr. Bhavdeep Sardana for more insight on the company's performance.
Good morning, investors and stakeholders. Briefly, in the quarter ending September 2023, our company navigated a challenging period marked by pricing pressures on finished goods and subdued demand for certain high-value seasonal products. While raw material availability and pricing remained stable, the impact of weak demand persisted, particularly for some high-value seasonal items, affecting our Q2 revenue from operations. This was also mirrored in FMCG majors citing weak rural demand. Regional constraints emerged due to erratic monsoons and floods, impacting the demand for specific products. Responding to these challenges, our company proactively secured an ample supply of basic raw material at an optimal cost, considering the unpredictable climatic conditions affecting the sowing of kharif crops. This strategic approach positions us for improved operating outcomes in the upcoming quarters. Notably, our revenue from operations remained robust during Q2 FY24, even amidst a 15-day maintenance shutdown at our larger facility in Punjab. And this was also highlighted by Mr. Aman Sethia in his remarks on the financial performance. Looking ahead, we are actively progressing with plans to expand our installed capacity by 25%, aiming for completion in the coming quarters. The exploration of expansion avenues, including greenfield projects and brownfield facility acquisitions, is underway, contingent upon market dynamics and internal assessments. Our commitment to enhancing the product portfolio and advancing operating margins remains steadfast. We adhere to a business model focused on serving key customers and markets near our plant locations. This philosophy aimed at sustaining growth across existing locations while exploring new avenues for expansion continuously drives us to enhance overall business and create value for our stakeholders. Our strategic placement of facilities in our local domain allows us effective client service. Expanding our presence across different geographies remains a key objective, strengthening our market share and gaining a competitive advantage. To address evolving customer demands, we optimize our product mix, emphasizing high-value offerings. This approach enables us to stay competitive amidst changing market dynamics. Aligned with this strategy, we have allocated capital expenditure to enhance the capacity of existing plants, increasing daily installed production capacity from 1,600 metric tons per day of corn grind to nearly 2,000 tons over the next few months. Importantly, these investments are entirely funded through internal accruals, underscoring our financial strength and company sustainability. In line with our commitment to efficiency and volume enhancement, we are prioritizing higher capacity utilization, striving for optimal performance and maximizing operational efficiency and productivity. Despite margin pressures from higher raw material cost and energy cost due to geopolitical conflicts, we partially offset these impacts by passing on cost to the market. Our forward-looking strategy involves prudent market entries, planning to diversify into new product segments, and adding new and diverse customers as we ascertain demand visibility. With a resilient foundation, we are poised to harness emerging opportunities and drive sustainable growth in the years to come. So that is the commentary from the management side. We now request the moderator to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So in our press release, as well as in our introductory speech, we mentioned that we are seeing pricing pressure on our finished goods. So if you could just elaborate what is happening in the industry, which is leading to pressure on realization, and is this pricing pressure for all products like starch, dextrose, or is it for select products only?
So thank you, Aditya, for this question, asking for more details. There was a moment in the last quarter where but there was pricing pressure on some of the products, not all of the products. As we mentioned that some products have a seasonal demand, so there was a higher pressure on those. Due to relatively soft raw material prices, the finished good products pricing also corrected in line. Another factor which happened was the co-products which the company manufactures, or which the industry manufactures, it has competing products, competing uses from other, such as oil from other sources or protein input from other sources. So there was a certain softening in that. But that period is over now, and we are looking at consolidation in pricing going forward.
Okay, so if I have to understand better, there was a drop in the raw material prices which we passed on to our customers, but the overall demand for our products is still pretty strong. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yes, yes. Demand is strong because we are, our raw material is an agro commodity. Naturally, the finished good pricing also fluctuates accordingly.
Got it. And sir, we had seen, you know, a surge in pricing for all our end products after COVID due to a variety of factors. So are the prices now back to pre-COVID levels, or we are still above those levels?
See, everything gets correlated to the raw material. I'll start with the second largest cost, which is energy. Energy is higher than pre-COVID levels as on date. Raw material is now getting towards the stability towards the higher end because of multiple stakeholders of the maize crop in India, multiple uses manifesting itself. So we are now going to see prices of finished goods at a pretty much at a higher end from here on.
Got it. So that was the next question. So corn prices, you know, pre-COVID used to trend around 12 to 14 rupees a kilo, which I think now is around 20 rupees a kilo. So just wanted to understand what has led to this rise in maize prices.
So Aditya, you know, you are not looking at the larger picture. Maize pricing was immediately in the quarter preceding COVID, it was 22, 23 rupees. It fell during COVID to 12 to 14 rupees, and it has been steadfastly rising since then. And price landed in North India is close to 22 to 24 rupees, varying. And in Southern India or Central India, where the Kharif crop is there, you are very right, it is hovering between 20 to 21 rupees. That's at the farmyard pricing. So pricing is higher or is back to COVID levels, pre-COVID levels. That's the scenario.
Got it. And sir, you know, considering the erratic rainfall which we witnessed, so do you think the maize price, there are chances of maize prices increasing further, or the maize prices should be stable around these levels only?
So your voice is not very, it's coming very muffled. Can you speak a little bit more clearly? Can you bring your handset a little bit more close so and repeat your question?
Yeah, so considering the erratic rainfall which we have witnessed this year, so are you witnessing that the corn prices may increase further, or do you think these levels are sustainable for now?
See, the erratic monsoon has resulted in a delayed harvest of the crop, and that will sustain higher pricing till the all the mandis come in arrivals, all the market yards which grow maize during kharif season. So the pricing will remain on the higher end, and I believe that, that there is enough raw material for the industry, all stakeholders, all users of the maize in India to get adequate maize. But I think the pricing is not going to soften. Pricing will remain firm.
Got it. And so just one last question. So USA, you know, Brazil and Argentina have been seeing good harvest of maize, with maize prices tending downwards for them. So do you think this could have any impact on our end product pricing, or we are relatively insulated?
So we, India is a non-GM producer of maize. As such, US corn and Brazilian corn cannot enter India. As a sentiment, as a global sentiment, there is a certain mindset where people assume that there will be a correction in India as well. However, because of the sustained demand from India, all the stakeholders in India which are consuming maize, they will ensure that the every sector will ensure that they want raw material and the pricing will remain stable or range bound.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir, for clarification.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Harsha from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. My first question is on demand. As you mentioned that Q2 demand was pretty soft, reflecting the sentiment seen by the FMCG companies. So just wanted to get your sense on how demand is trending now if we look at the festive season. So how is the demand scenario since Q2? If you can give some explanation on that.
So vis-a-vis Q2, we are seeing a good demand rising, and I think demand in the rural sector has also or should be picking up. Typically, we witness this during the festival season, that this demand does play out in during the festive season and the wedding season. You know, all kinds of product categories start coming into action, and naturally, as a company, we also stand to gain from it.
Okay. And if you have to see over last 1 year when the demand has been pretty subdued, so would we have gained any market share with our clients or by adding new clients or adding new products within the existing client basket?
Of course, that's always our endeavor to keep adding new clients. And we add the clients at across all levels and categories. There is a continuous effort to add clients of a certain scale and at all scales. So we keep doing that. As far as new products are concerned, what we do is, as a company, we are very quick and nimble to tailor-make specifications within a particular product range. And that constitutes as a new product for a new customer. So, you know, if someone has a very tight specification of a particular product and they are unable to source it, we look at it as a value proposition and try to get a higher margin from it. And we are able to do it because of how we have set up our product lines in all our facilities.
Okay. And on the margin front, so FY22 was the best year for us. We saw margin of around 13.5-14%. Since then, we have reached the low of 8.9%. So just wanted to get a sense on what could be the sustainable margin from here on, and what would be the key drivers towards achieving those numbers.
See, coming back on of a strong COVID recovery, the industry did very well. The margins, EBITDA margins, we are doing between 9-12% is the range I would assume the company and the industry, well, most in the industry to achieve. And we would also be hoping to achieve those numbers. If you see our back-to-back quarter numbers, we are maintaining and preserving our margins. If you see in the last 2 years, we've had triple-digit operating profit of more than 100 crores. And this year as well, we are on track. And we hope to at least come up to that level. And if you go back to 4 years ago, see where we were. So demand is there. Our company with a higher capacity, which came online in the last two to three financial years, has been able to service that demand within India. Hence, we've grown our market share. We've grown with the overall industry. And looking going forward, we hope to continue this run.
Okay. And just a last question to get a macro picture on the company. So what is the kind of growth rate that we can anticipate for Suvajit if we take a five-year view? And currently, we are sitting on ROC of around 11%-11.5%. So just wanted to get a sense on what kind of sustainable ROC can the company make, because I believe at 9%-10%, while this could be sustainable, but it would not translate into superior ROC for us. Like FY22, we saw maybe 18%-20% kind of ROC. So going ahead, just wanted to get a sense on what could be the five-year growth outlook and what kind of ROCE can we expect from the company.
Harsha, an analogy I have used, a factual analogy which I have used in the past. In FY04-05, the company was barely 100 crore in revenue. And last year, we did 1,400-odd crores in revenue. That's a 14 times growth in 18 years. So you can imagine what the next 5 years is going to look like. We are a young team, both at the promoter and the management level, and we are very excited about the opportunity in India. And we are working very hard to grow both our capacities and therefore our market share and have a healthy bottom line coupled with a very aggressive top line.
Okay. And then what is the ROC target that the company is working with?
Your voice is coming very muffled.
Sir, may we request you to use your handset, sir? You are not audible.
No, what is the ROC target that the company is working with?
So we are, if I can say, we are aiming for 20%-25%.
Okay. Okay. That's great to hear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Darshit from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So thanks for taking my questions. So firstly, a couple of my questions have been answered. But you said that we will be in the range of 9%-12% of the EBITDA margins. So currently, say we are at 9%. When do you think will we clock in this 11% or 12% kind of OPM? In Q3, Q4, or in the next year? What would be the timeline approx?
So we are at 10% plus margins as on date. And as and when the demand fully plays out in all sectors, urban and rural demand, we hope that our margins will also increase. There is a high possibility that Q3, Q4 will have better margins. Like I said, we are an agro-processing company which has to deal with vagaries of nature and off-late geopolitical conflicts. So if things don't change much, we are on track to achieve better margins. This is keeping our fingers crossed.
Okay. Okay. Great. And you had mentioned that you are planning on doing capacity expansion. So any kind of update on that, whether we finalized where and what kind of CapEx is going to require?
Yeah. So the 25% increase in overall installed capacity comes online in the next few months. It starts getting released in the first quarter of the next financial. It will start getting released then. And I think by the end of the next financial, all of that capacity enhancement would be in play. As far as a new greenfield or a brownfield expansion is concerned, our teams are evaluating multiple options, and we will discuss internally and chart what is good for the company and announce at an appropriate time in the next couple of quarters.
Okay. And no plans for taking any debt, right?
Currently. No plan of, pardon?
No plans of taking any debt, correct?
We are not planning on taking any debt for the existing expansions underway. For any greenfield or a large brownfield expansion, we will decide at that time of deciding what path we are going to take.
Okay, okay, all right. And lastly, just finally, what would be the maize price currently that
maize price in South India is about 22 to 23 rupees. Maize price in Central India is about 20 to 21 rupees. Maize price in North India is about 24 rupees.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tanishka from Kirpalani. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I think most of my questions are based on the longer term CapEx. So if you can answer any, that would be helpful. Currently, we're expanding from 1600 TPD to 2000 TPD. So when you said that y'all are doubling the capacity over the next 5 to 6 years or so, would that mean 2000 to 4000 or would that mean 1600 to 3200?
So we, our exact plans, whether it is 3,000 or 4,000, are being discussed internally. Safe to assume that we would be looking at a bare minimum 3,000. If we can go higher, if it makes sense, and if we see an opportunity which is immediately encashable or executable, we will not hesitate. But like I said, those are very forward-looking. I don't want to commit to it. We are evaluating and our decision-making process is going to take maybe 3 to 4 months. And in the immediate subsequent quarters, we will announce accordingly.
Okay. Also, again, this may be a bit premature because it's not finalized, but how do you usually do your expansions? Is it done in phases or is it usually done where the whole thing commences at, 3 to 5 years down the line, the whole thing will commence?
That's pretty much an operational decision. Largely, as a company, we like to commission the entire capacity at one go. Utilization may take longer, but if I'm working with a manufacturer of a machinery, he's not going to keep coming back unless I go in for various small modules and then have an aggregation, which somehow going forward doesn't seem very cost effective. It's better to have a large throughput facility and commission it in one go, and the utilization factor can increase over the next few years of operating. So this is the methodology which we will follow and which we have been following in the recent past.
Okay, great. And is there any industry standard figures you can give for CAPEX of, let's say, 1,000 TPD?
See, there are many numbers going around. It all depends on the location, type of plant, type of products, type of utilities. So it's a very, someone could set it up for 350 crores, somebody with basic products, somebody would spend over 650 crores depending on, so there's no fixed number. So there are many variables to it.
Sure, I understand. And when are y'all going to be focusing more on exports, and do exports give better margins?
Not all the time, but yes, they give similar margins to what we are selling, provided the facility one is exporting from is ideally placed to look at an export demand. As of now, we don't have any exportable surplus to cater to it, so we are not very aggressive in looking at export opportunities. some do come, and we do offer our products in the export market. Going forward, our decision on expansion, even export markets, would be a variable in our decision-making process.
Sure. And just one last question. So it's regarding the debt-equity ratio. Is there any peak debt-equity ratio that y'all are okay going to? Is there any cap on the debt-equity ratio over the next 5-6 years?
See, we've shown with our performance that we've gone up as high as 0.7 debt-to-equity ratio. Now it is at 0.2 to 0.3. So that's the flexibility that we've shown that our company can take on debt and service it. It's at a very healthy 0.2, 0.2, 1.22. So as a company, we are mindful of not being aggressive debt takers. And using our own funds and we plan our expansion accordingly. We will be prudent going forward as well. And that's the yardstick which our management and the older promoters have, the legacy they have instilled in the current set of management.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Harshit from Bottoms Up. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi. Sir, the first question is that as you mentioned that current quarter demand was slightly abnormally low because of the festive getting delayed. Can you just quantify some kind of number for capacity utilization? Say, broadly, if we are at 1600 TPD capacity today, then for September, what was the kind of number we were operating? Wanted to get a sense of the volume growth over YOY or a QQ basis.
We've been consistently working at a good capacity utilization and we timed our, we read the market and we timed our annual maintenance shutdown accordingly so that, you know, we did not go below a volume number. And you've seen our Q1, Q2 numbers are pretty much similar with margins intact. So I hope that answers your question and that and shows that how our company managed that scenario.
Okay. Okay. So I mean, when we look at our volume, so when we look at this 320 crore revenue, right, versus last year September 347 crore, and at the same point of time we know that some of the finished good pricing is better today than a year back, so logically we should read it as a volume decline.
No, not really. There was a, you have not understood what I was trying to say earlier, or the numbers don't reflect. I'll just clarify it for you that, you know, maize prices corrected during the Rabi crop, that reflected in a lower selling price. While volume growth or volume has been similar.
Okay. Understood.
Maize corrected by 20%, and the company has the top line has only corrected by 10%. So a company has actually worked harder.
Got it.
Harder, and you know, it's a huge credit to our manufacturing team for what they have achieved.
Understood, sir. No, got this. So basically, maize prices have actually fallen. So the final good prices is lower by Y. So that compensates for the volume growth. Understood. Got it. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Senthil Manikandan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. First, in terms of you mentioned that in the short term you'll be adding around 400 TPD, and then over the mid to long term we'll be eyeing for a 3000 TPD. So can you just explain what's the industry growth over the medium term, and is the entire incremental capacity we will be utilizing it for by gaining market share, or is the industry growth itself will be sufficient to utilize the incremental capacity?
That's a very intelligent question, and gives us an opportunity to talk about our industry. Our industry is typically grows at the rate of GDP. So that's the entire industry growing at the rate of GDP. Not everyone in the industry is growing. There are a handful of manufacturers who are continuously growing, and typically they are the top five manufacturers within the country, and not everyone is timing their expansion every year. So there is adequate demand growth within the industry for any capacity utilization to get absorbed. Now, as our company, how we scale up, let's say if I set up a 600 ton per day plant, I may start the plant at 300, and then over the next three calendar years or three fiscal years, I go up to 90-95% utilization.
Okay. And in terms of products, if you can just explain, will we going for a derivatives, higher value added kind of products, or like import substituted kind of products, or it will be a existing lineup of products?
See, we are evaluating all the three options which you have mentioned. Naturally, when we set up a new plant, it will have a mixture of starch and derivatives. What type of derivatives that we are evaluating. Now, there is another scope word which you mentioned, import substitute, that there are certain fermentation products which we may look at going forward, but that may not happen immediately. That may happen in phase two of that location. But then again, we are evaluating those, and I am not committing to it.
Okay, that's it from me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from Asuth Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Sure. Well, my first question is, so you did mention that you are expecting maize prices to firm up given the weather. And so in the presentation, just linking with the point that you mentioned, you have stored the inventory. So if you can talk about how many months of inventory you have stored, and because you are expecting maize prices to firm up, are you expecting any inventory gains for the next two quarters?
Normally, we store inventory between at a maximum of 3 to 4 months. So naturally, if maize prices go up, there is gain inventory related gains to be had, and we expect to have some releasing of those gains over the current quarter. But you know, to say that it will also continue in Q4 would be a very forward looking and very ambitious statement.
Sure, sir. And sir, second question I have is, you mentioned that you are also looking at some new products in the presentation. So if you can talk about what kind of products are you looking at and the opportunity size of the new products.
See, as a company, we are evaluating working with post-COVID, there has been a big change in consumer preferences. Skincare, skin cleansing, those lines are everyone is taking seriously, and I think those habits are there now in everyone's daily life. There are certain products which we manufacture which can be tailored with, which can supply, where we can supply to the larger skin cleansing majors of the country, and we are evaluating those as a segment entry. As far as totally new product lines, there are fermentables, both for animal feed, nutrition and human consumption. Products which go into, you know, those, the vegan movement for human consumption. So we are evaluating again the opportunity size in that, whether it is only an export opportunity or will the India demand also play out. So again, we are working with the larger retailers in India and the larger producers in US and Europe, and how they perceive the market. So it's a wait and watch in that space.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. So I had a couple of questions on our food pack business. So if you could just help us understand how much area has been leased and how much is pending, and are we seeing any delays because the revenue is not increasing that much in the food pack business?
Yeah, Aditya, the food pack business is a very small part of our overall pie. As far as the area to lease out, about 55% has been leased out. We are under talks to lease out another 20%. Since the overall land area is not very large, 55 acres, and out of that only leasable area was about 33 acres, and 24 acres leased out, and only 11 acres of land or of plotted development which we need to lease out. So it's not that huge. As far as top line not increasing, it, you must understand that it is a very job work model, or it's an infrastructure play. So you know, you get utility service charges, whether it is steam, whether it is electricity or warehousing. So that top line it will not be there, but yes, it's a sustained utilization of the infrastructure which we have collected, and we have become EBITDA positive in the food park, and going forward we will see further improvement there.
I believe we had invested around 140 to 150 crores in this business. So what kind of revenues can this generate when all the area is leased out?
As I mentioned, it's an infrastructure play where the utilities are on a user pay model. Now, 65 to 70% of the utilities are already fully occupied or fully generating revenue to the company. Going forward, I can say that at full utilization of those utilities, we may see an increase of about 35 to 40% from here, from these levels.
Got it. And sir, we were supposed to receive, I think, 50 crores from the government as subsidy. So have you received the same?
We have received 40 odd crores already from the 50.
Okay. So, okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for taking out time and joining us today for this phone call. I hope we have been able to respond to your queries adequately. We look forward to your continued support as we navigate the road ahead together. If you have any further queries, you may kindly reach out to our investor relation partner or Orient Capital. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of the Subjit Starch and Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.